السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد. So Brother Omar just kind of confused me as to what it is I'm supposed to be speaking about. And consequently, I'm just going to speak. And inshallah, then Brother Zubari will give you something related to the topic. Right? Is that the plan?
Just speak. You're free to speak about anything you want. Seniority, so, that's what you get. You can do anything you want.
Yes, and Omar has to live with me. You can leave. Live with me. So the topic, though, my understanding, the title, I should say, was what is the effect of our relationship with the Quran? We see in a couple places in the Quran itself where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the Quran. And actually, by the way, that's one thing kind of unique or something that you see throughout the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking about the Quran, what is the Quran throughout the Quran. But in particular, there's a couple of places in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about what kind of effect this Quran can have and should have, or at least in ways that we should reflect upon what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. In one of those places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if we had sent down the Quran upon a mountain, you would have seen it humbled and coming apart from fear of Allah. And these examples we present to the people that perhaps they will give thought. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse is giving us a beautiful, beautiful example or parable of these great and strong mountains that we see. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have sent the Quran down to these mountains, to a mountain, you would see it humbled and coming apart from the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what should this mean for these small human beings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent this Quran as a message through the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for us human beings? What should be the effect that this Quran should have upon us? And in particular, I forget the main theme of the conference, not the lecture now. In particular for us living in the United States as a Muslim minority. How do we get from the Quran the guidance and the message that it pertains for us living here in the United States, for example, in the 21st century? So much of how we're going to benefit from the Quran has to do with how we approach the Quran and how we read the Quran. Because many times we read the Quran, but we do not read it in the light and in the manner such that inshallah it's going to give us the benefits and the lessons and the guidance inshallah that it is meant to give us. And one of the important aspects that we have to recognize is that when we read the text of the Quran and the Sunnah, I guess I will concentrate on the Quran since that's the topic. When we read the text of the Quran, we have to make sure that we release the text of the Quran from constraints of time and place. And what I mean by that is that sometimes when we read the Quran, we see, for example, the Quran is talking about the prophets of old. The Quran is talking about incidents that happened in the lifetime of the Prophet. And sometimes when we read these verses, and maybe when we read the tafsir related to it, and the asbab al-nuzul and so forth, we read it in such a way that we take it as if it is something that happened, and it's finished, and it's done. But this book that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed for us, as a mercy for us, It is meant for us to be our guidance, as I'll talk about inshallah shortly. And these messages and these meanings and these lessons that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving in the Quran are not meant simply for the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And their application was not meant simply for the time of the Prophet ﷺ. But in reality, they are giving us messages and meanings that are for us and relevant for us today and now. That's why if you read, for example, books of tafsir throughout the history, you see that these books of tafsir talk about things that are happening at the time of the mufassir, at the time of the one who wrote the book. Because the Quran is always relevant for every time and every place. And some of the most effective tafsirs that had the greatest influence on the people of their times were the tafsirs that could take the teachings of the Quran and translate them into what is happening at their time. So that the message of the Quran is a live message. Otherwise, as I said, you can read verses of the Quran, you can read passages of the Quran, and if all you think is that this is something that happened and is talking about an event that took place, you may miss the fact that there is a lesson and a message that is being given. So for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in one verse in Surah Al-Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes, الَّذِينَ قَالَ لَهُمَ النَّاسِ إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ فَخْشَوْهُمْ فَزَادَهُمْ إِمَانًا وَقَالُوا حَسْبَنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. The verse reads, those to whom the people said, the people are gathering against you, so fear them. But it only increased their faith. They said, for us, Allah suffices, and He is the best guardian. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about something that happened. The kuffar were gathering their army against the Muslims. And when a group of Muslims, and in particular, some maybe who had some weak faith, warned the other Muslims and said to the other Muslims, look, this great army is gathering against you. And their own response, and this army is gathering against you, you should fear them. And their only response, فَزَادَهُمْ إِمَانًا. First of all, increase their iman. وَقَالُوا حَسْبَنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. And they said that Allah for us suffices and He is the best guardian. Today, for example, many times when we look at the Muslim Ummah, we look at the Muslim world, or we look at ourselves as a minority here in the United States, sometimes we get the feeling that all the forces are against us. And sometimes when we get that feeling, it actually leads to despair or weakness or even question or doubt. You know, how is it that here we are Muslims and all of these forces are against us? And as I said, sometimes it even can lead to weakness or doubt. But here we see an exact example of that nature. It happened, but the lesson, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserved this lesson and this incident and told us explicitly about what happened, so that inshallah if we face something similar to that, inshallah the result will be the same. When we see the kuffar, when we see the un-Islamic forces getting stronger and stronger, trying to work harder and harder against Islam, this should be a clear sign that Islam is something else, something different from what these people want. And this should increase our iman. فَزَادَهُمْ إِمَانًا. This should increase our iman in what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us as the truth. And we should realize that we don't need anybody other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us and to protect our faith. So we'll put our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regardless of everything that they might muster up against Islam. And that is clear from this verse in the Quran that probably many times we read it, but we don't think, what does this verse What does this verse in the Quran mean for us here and now? Because we are forgetting the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed this book and this guidance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given it to us directly for our guidance and to lead our lives personally. We have to take the Quran and we have to take it personally. In the sense that we know it is meant for us. Throughout the Quran, for example, in a couple of places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ بَصَائِرٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ فَمَنْ أَبْصَرَ فَلِنَفْسِي وَمَنْ أَعْمِيَ فَعَلَيْهَا. You have received from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala بَصَائِر, clear signs and evidence and something, clear proof showing you clear the clear way. And if you take it and if you benefit from it, actually you are just benefiting yourself. But if you are blind to it, and being blind to it doesn't mean you don't read it necessarily. Doesn't mean you don't listen to it necessarily. But if you really want to be blind to it, you don't take heed from it. You don't listen to what it says and apply it in your life. So here the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not speaking to the Prophet قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ بَصَائِرُ. For all of you, you Muslims, you believers, this light, this proof, this evidence has come to you. And you have to take it, inshallah, as your personal guidance that has come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And try to lead, inshallah, your life in the light of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us throughout the Quran. And then, inshallah, when you start to apply and live by the Quran, and you take the Quran seriously, and you put your effort into learning and applying the Quran. We have to take our time, especially in this situation where we are in now. We have all sorts of elements, all sorts of un-Islamic influences all around us. If we go to school, many times we go to public schools or non-Muslim schools. So for us to get the knowledge of the Quran and Sunnah is going to take effort on our part. So we have to put that effort in. And as we put that effort in, inshallah, then inshallah we will continue to grow and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue to guide us, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ جَهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. As for those who strive for our sake, we shall certainly guide them to our paths. For verily Allah is with those who are doing right, who are doing ihsan, who are doing good, who are trying to excel. The more you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more you turn to the Quran and are serious about taking this Quran as your guide in this life, in this existence where you are right now, then inshallah the more of the lessons of the Quran will come to you and the more you'll find yourself guided throughout your life. You don't have to be living in Mecca and Medina at the time of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You don't have to be living in Saudi Arabia or any Muslim country now to realize and to understand and to see that the Quran is guiding you. That the Quran has the guidance in there for you. And no matter what circumstances you are in, inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided enough evidences, enough signs, enough guidance for you, that inshallah you can lead your life. Because in reality, human history doesn't change a great deal. What we see in human history now, we see different manifestations of old realities. Different manifestations of old realities. What we have right now, for example, happening to the Muslim Ummah. Yeah, there are some things which are unique that maybe we haven't seen in our history. Like, for example, the presence of large Muslim minorities living under non-Islamic systems. But in reality, how to live under difficult circumstances, or how to live under Islamic circumstances, or how to live when Muslims are weak and not the dominant paradigm? If you know the Quran, you know that there's plenty of guidance. There's plenty of guidance related to these issues. We know the Prophet ﷺ spent 13 years in Mecca, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continued to reveal to him messages and teachings and lessons that applied to that time more when Muslims were weak than applied to, obviously, I mean in a general sense, to when Muslims were stronger, because that is what they needed at that time. And those lessons are there for us to turn to and to take. We see, for example, in the time of Ibrahim, where he was virtually alone in his faith and rejecting the idols of his people. We see Bani Israel and Musa telling Bani Israel to be patient, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give the lands to those people who are pious. We see the Prophet and his Sahaba in Mecca, and many verses revealed concerning them, in a state which is not a state of strength and being the dominant paradigm, but in reality, a state in which, or a situation in which, the dominant paradigm is a paradigm of kufr. And these passages in the Quran are throughout the Quran. I don't want to take too much time, but if you turn to the Quran, you can reflect on these passages and you can see how the messages in those passages many times look virtually exactly like what you may be facing in your life. And that is the beautiful nature of the Quran. As I said, it is a guidance for you. There are things in the Quran that are applying to what you are facing in your life. But unfortunately, many times we pass through them without even realizing that the light and the guidance was there. But inshallah, if we are regular in reading the Quran and regular in pondering over the Quran, inshallah, we will see more and more how the Quran is really meant for us, even today, nowadays, in the kind of situation that we are facing right now, inshallah. Barakallahu feekum, inshallah, well, I'll give the floor over to Brother Abdul Barak, inshallah. Before I get any notes from Riyadh about
it. Jazakallahu khairan, Shaykh. Shaykh Abdul Dari. Stay there, or you want to go?
In alhamdulillah, nahmadu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiru. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد The Quran that we hear being recited is the same Quran that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited, and that the companions heard from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the masjid. But when we look at the state of the companions and they compare that state to our state, we see that there's a big difference. That there seems to have been a change amongst the Muslims. But the Quran is still the same Quran. In fact, the Sunnah is the same Sunnah. The words of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have been preserved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by our great scholars. The scholars of Hadith collected it and clarified to us that which has been authenticated from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and that which wasn't. So the Quran is still the same Quran. And the Sunnah is still the same Sunnah. Then why is our condition so different from the conditions of the companions radiallahu anhu? Why is it that so often we raise our hands and we supplicate to Allah, and then it seems like the conditions only get worse? During the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when there was a drought, he'd raise his hands and help would come. And also the angels would come and help them. But for us, it seems like it only gets hotter. The situation sometimes only gets worse. Well, why is that? Why are we also in this state where everyone is plundering the wealth of the Muslims? Well, we have the same Quran. It's not the different Quran that we're reciting, no. It's the same. But what's the difference? What has changed? The thing that has changed is how we respond to that same Quran. Our response to it has changed. And that's why you don't see that life in us anymore. Our response to the orders of Allah and His Messenger have changed. We are always procrastinating and we expect help to come quickly. And so if we want to start somewhere to bring change to this ummah, then we have to look at the Quran. But we always read the Quran, right? We say. But not just reciting the Quran, but using the Quran as a guide for us and applying it in our daily lives and doing it immediately instead of saying tomorrow, next week, after I graduate, after I get married, after I make Hajj, then I'll apply the rules that I've learned. And that's why our iman is in this state, because we are always procrastinating. So in order for us to revive that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَجِيبُوا لِلَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَجِيبُوا لِلَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ. O you who believe, give your response to Allah and His Messenger when they call you to that which gives you life. And so we have to change the way we respond to Allah and His Messenger. We have to reflect upon the Qur'an and understanding it and following it according to the way that the companions understood it. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He described, when He gave the job description of the prophets and messengers, the job description of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described it and He says, this is a dua, of course, of Prophet Ibrahim, and there are other verses similar to it also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, رَبَّنَا وَبَعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكَ يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكَ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ إنك أنت العزيز الحكيم. ربنا وابعث فيهم رسولا. Oh Allah,
oh our Lord,
وابعث فيهم رسولا. Send a messenger, رسولا منهم, from amongst them, to do what? يتلو عليهم آياتك, to recite to them the verses, to recite to them the ayats. And then, just to recite to them only, and have them memorize the verses, and then let them interpret it the way that they want? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala
Allah Akbar, Allah Akbar, Allah.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the job description of the prophets and messengers. In this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verses to the prophets so that they, yatlu alayhim ayatik, so that they can recite to you your verse, the ayats, and then not just leave you to understand it the way you want to understand it, also to teach you the proper understanding. And that's why nowadays, those who do not want to follow the Quran, they ironically call themselves, or people call them Quraniyun, and they are as far as you can from the Quran. The reason why they say, give me the Quran, forget about the Sunnah. Just give me the Quran. Forget about the Sunnah. Whatever's in the Quran is halal, and we'll make it halal. Whatever's haram, we'll make it halal. That's it. The reason why they reject the Sunnah is because they don't want to follow the Quran, even though they say we just want to follow the Quran. No, because they want to interpret the verses the way that they want to interpret, according to their own whims and desires. And that's why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam described these people. He said, "La alfiyanna ahadukum." Let me not find one of you sitting down on your couches, laying down, or reclining on your couches with a big full stomach. No, you notice the Messenger of Allah described them with a full stomach, meaning these people are the people of the dunya. They just want to understand the Quran according to their own whims and desires and twist the meanings, and so they reject the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the clear interpretation or the clarification from the sunnah itself. So the job of the prophets and messengers, not just to recite to you the verses and let you memorize it, no. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ, and then to show it in practice. The scholars have mentioned hikmah here. The sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the practical aspect of the teachings of the Qur'an. And that's why his khuluq, كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنِ, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's khuluq, his characteristics, his manners, the teaching of the Quran were embodied in the characteristics of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so when you understand the Quran, you might recite certain verses, but just reading it alone without seeing it in practice, or without reading about how the prophets and messengers applied some of the understanding and the teachings of the Quran, we don't get so much, we don't feel it so much. Let me give you an example. I used to have class with one of our teachers every Thursday night. I remember we would have tafsir in his house, and we had finished about half the Quran. We just finished Surah Al-Kahf, and every single day or every single time when his at the end of the class, usually we would have, or during the class, a little bit afterwards, we would have dinner, because it was at night time. It was after Isha, and we would delay, of course, our dinner until after the class. And generally, of course, the Shaykh is also hungry, and sometimes he would also, just eat with us. Or in his house, he would provide us with food. But one day he wasn't, and his wife was not home, so he didn't have food at home. Well, he did, but he's busy teaching us, so he's not cooking or anything like that. And so we went outside. He said, "Let's go outside, guys. I know you guys are hungry, and I'm hungry too. I don't got anything at home." His wife was at her parents' house. And so we went out to a restaurant. And after we ate, one of the students, he took a couple of toothpicks. He took about five or six of them. He put five or six in his pocket. He took one. He used it. Used one. So the Shaykh looked at him. And all of us, all the students, are like a couple, five or six of us. We see the whole thing. But nothing clicks on our head. We don't even notice anything different or anything wrong at all whatsoever. It's like, how people go to like the coffee shops and so forth, take like a couple of, instead of take one or two only, take like 20 or 30, put in the car, the napkins and the tissues. Right? Nobody sees anything wrong with it whatsoever. The Shaykh looks at us. He looks at the student and says, "Allah, so don't you fear Allah? Like all the things that we're learning about the Quran, you're not even applying it." And we're like, "Yeah, it's only five toothpicks, And we're going to pay for it, right? We eat here, right?" And so he said, "Did we not learn when we just finished Surah Al-Kahf? Did we not learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, 'La yughadiru saghiratan wa la kabiratan illa ahsaha'?" Did we not learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not leave anything big or small except you'll be held accountable for it? Everything big or small. And we're not even thinking about those things. Like, it's so small, like five toothpicks, what is it? So the Shaykh said, "Listen, I understand one or two, go ahead. Or three if you want. But for the next five meals, if you were the owner of this restaurant, would you want every person to do that?" So then immediately, subhanAllah, the meaning of that verse, just like it was, we started to understand it. When we saw it in action, when we saw it in practice. And so, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would teach the companions or give the khutab, he didn't just go into his room. And then next month, and with his family, next week you see him again. No. He ate with the companions. He traveled with them. He went to visit them. He was with them. And so they saw the verses, and the verses that they learned being put to practice in front of their very own eyes. So it had a very strong effect. So in order for you to really understand the Qur'an, you understand it with the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of when it was revealed, where it was revealed, how it was revealed, why it was revealed, and then it will have such a greater effect on you also. And then look at the stories and reflect upon those stories, because the teachings of the Quran are embodied in the stories in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is relating to us. And so it isn't just that, it isn't just reciting and memorizing. Because in Seattle we have a lot of people that memorize the Quran. Alhamdulillah, the students, mashallah. We have a large Somali community. And one thing, when it comes to memorizing the Quran, mashallah, they take care of that pretty well. The thing is, have they memorized the Quran? Yes. But afterwards, when they finish, the same guys, not all of them, but there are some of them, they come out. They come out almost like, as sometimes they, do things that are like another criminals. But they're hufaz the Quran. But all they have is they've just memorized it. They've memorized it. But we have a lot, later on they go and join gangs and so forth. When they're young, they memorize it. Then it's all, you see, you hear about this person and that person. And then also you hear, oh, he was in jail for this and for that. So it has to be taught. And not just, of course, the memorization of it. And the recitation of it. But also the application of it. And so sometimes you don't just want to read it and get through with it. No. Do it just like the companions. How did they used to memorize the Quran and recite the Quran? They would recite it only 10 verses at a time. And they would not pass it. Or they would not go to the next 10 until they had memorized it, learned the rulings related to it, and they had applied it also. Because once you apply it, that's where the barakah is. When you learn and you apply it, then it sticks with you. And so when we learn the Quran, we should also try to learn, don't just try to read it and not understand it. No, don't just read it and just read the translation. No. Try to understand also the Arabic. There's so much beauty in it. And even if you know Arabic already, you still have to recite, and you have to learn the intricacies and what the words mean, because a lot of the words that we use nowadays are not the same, it's not used the same way. And so a person understands it differently. And they don't really have the same, you know, understanding, or it doesn't affect them the same way, because you don't understand the words properly. You have, for example, the word ghurfa. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions many times, fi ghurafat, they are in rooms, like the people of Jannah. And so when you think about ghurfa, you think about, okay, room. Yeah, room. Okay, I'm in a room. Yeah. Well, what about hujra? Right, hujra. The thing is, there's a difference between them. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says ghurafat, ghuraf, the word ghurfa does not just mean room. It means, it's not the room that's on the bottom floor, it's the top floor. You've got the presidential suite looking down in Jannah. And so, sometimes you lose that. Because we don't understand the facets of some of these words. And that's why when the Arabs, when they understood it, it was so beautiful and affected them right away. To the point where they would hear it and they would be amazed by it and astonished by it. And they would know immediately, this is not the word of any man. It can only be divine. It can only be from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why one companion from the Daws tribe, this is from the tribe of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he came to Mecca. And the Meccans were trying to instill fear in him about the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so much so that they met him before he entered Mecca. And he was so afraid of listening or hearing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he came in with earplugs. He put cotton in his ears so he wouldn't hear the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he was making tawaf, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting down reciting at the Kaaba. And then he started to realize how foolish that was. And he said, you know, oh, Abdul Fayyad, you know, you're a very good poet. And, you know, you're someone who is very smart, intelligent. You know good from bad. So why are you doing this? You can differentiate. This is foolish. So he took the earplugs off from his ears and he heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reciting the verses of the Quran. And at that moment it struck his heart. Like from the beginning. Because of the beauty of it. As they understood it. Just the language. That in itself is a miracle. The beauty of it. And so it affected them. And so when we recite the Quran, one of the ways, one of the things that helps us to benefit from it, of course, is to put it to practice immediately, as soon as possible. And that's why the companions, when they heard an order, they were quick in putting it to practice. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the complaints and the complaints of the prophets. And he says, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ, and the prophet says, يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنُ مَهْجُورًا. Oh my Lord, indeed, my people have taken this Qur'an as an abandonment. And so, what is the abandonment of the Qur'an? And this is where we can, this is where we should reflect upon how we are. Because in order for us to check, you know, our iman, you know, on your car you have a dashboard, right? You have a dashboard. And in that dashboard there's a lot of information there. Tells you how much gas you have left, how fast you're going. A lot of information there. But also there are signals. You know, like if it's like if you're running out of gas, you'll see this red light, or if there's something wrong, there is a check engine sign that comes on, right? Well, what's our dashboard? How can we see what's wrong? Are we okay? Is everything okay with ourselves? Well, one of the things that we can check our iman is how we are with the Quran. Because if our heart is pure, then you'd love to recite the Quran. And you never get enough of it. And that's why Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, he said, لَوْ طَهُرَتْ قُلُوبُنَا مَا شَبِعْنَا مِنْ كَلَامِ رَبِّنَا. If our hearts were pure, we would never get enough of the word of our Lord. If our hearts were pure, we would never get enough of it. And so, it's one way to check ourselves. If, you know, if we see that we're not reciting the Quran, or it's very difficult for us to recite the Quran when we're sitting down, it's like it's a hardship, then maybe it's time to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's time to push ourselves also. It's also, the thing is with the Qur'an, if you have a problem with it, the cure for it is to recite it and reflect upon it also. And it is a cure. So one of the ways, you know, of course, besides not reciting it, not listening to it, another way of abandonment is also abandoning the rules and regulations that are mentioned in the Qur'an. And also another form of abandonment is not reflecting upon the Qur'an. And also, the Qur'an is a shifa, is a cure for us. Cure for physical ailments and spiritual ailments. Both. Most people think, okay, for spiritual ailments. But no, when there's something wrong, you have aches and pains, it is also a cure. That's why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to recite the last two surahs in the Qur'an. And then, you know, during when the Prophet, wherever there was pain, he would rub that area after reciting it. And Aisha radiallahu anha, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very sick, she said, "I did that and I recited it, and I used the hand of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to wipe on the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." And so it is. Is the cure. Even Al-Fatiha, recite Al-Fatiha, recite any of the verses of the Qur'an, it in itself is a cure. And not using that is also one of the, not using it as a cure, is also one of the way people abandon the Qur'an. And so, we have to check ourselves right now. If our hearts were pure, then we would love, and we would never get enough of the Qur'an. We would continue to recite it. And we will continue to respect it. And respecting the Qur'an so entails that we, you know, we apply it and we teach it. And we learn it. And another sunnah that people have have left when it comes to the Qur'an is teaching each other and learning from each other the Qur'an. During the time of the Prophet ﷺ, the companions would recite the Qur'an to each other in the masjid all the time. That's why yesterday I mentioned that after the Battle of Uhud, when the companions were put in the grave, the one who memorized the most Qur'an was put in the front. How did they know who memorized more of the Qur'an? Every time the Messenger of Allah ﷺ asked, the companions would know. But when we look at our communities now, the people who are closest to us, our best friends, the people whom we see every day in the masjid, if we ask them, we ask ourselves, how much do they memorize? We don't know how much they memorize of the Qur'an. Because we are not reciting to each other. We are not teaching each other the Qur'an. And as a result of that, if we're not teaching each other the Qur'an, reciting to each other the Qur'an, then if we can't get together in reciting the Qur'an, which is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then how are we going to come together with other things? Because by coming together with the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's when our hearts come together. Also, you know, that's why when you pray, you come together close to each other. Make sure you stay in a straight line. Because if you don't do that, you don't come together and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala correctly in prayer, in recitation of the Qur'an, then the hearts, you know, will not come together. That's why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in relation to the prayer, he said, لَتَخْتَلِفُ فَتَخْتَلِفَ قُلُوبُكُمْ. He said, don't. You know, align yourself, straighten your lines, and don't be crooked and so forth. Otherwise your hearts will also, will not come together. You have, you know, those differences and problems amongst yourselves. And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the Qur'an the light of our heart, and to join us also in paradise, just as He has joined us here today and these few days. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
JazakAllah khairan, Sheikh Abdul Bari and Sheikh Jamal Zaragoza. We have about 10 minutes for questions for both sheikhs. You can start by raising your hands or giving the question cards in. Do we have any questions on the brother's side? Tada, here in the front.
Assalamu alaikum. What would you recommend for someone whose native language is English and he would like to start reading the Quran al-Sharif, I guess the correct way?
When you say the correct way, what do you mean by the correct way?
For example, I have the Quran al-Sharif, the translation of it in English, and I know that I'm missing, because when I listen to the reciters, I'm missing the beautiful portion of that when the reciters are reciting it in Arabic. And I know that I'm missing certain translations of it. Would you recommend for me to take an Arabic class to start from the foundation up, or continue reading it in English and attending, you know, seminars and
First, I have to comment about the coffee, by the way, in case you're wondering. So every Sunday in Santa Clara, there's a brother who brings me coffee around this time of day. And mashallah, he's here, and he brought me coffee here as well.
And you know, good companionship. You know, being nice to good companionship, you get the benefit of it.
So, with respect to your question, inshallah, first of all, inshallah, nowadays, alhamdulillah, I think you have lots of resources, such that, inshallah, you can kind of plan up maybe on more than one thing if you have the time. So, you always want to read, inshallah, the Arabic, as well as get a good translation and hopefully a good commentary. Unfortunately, when it comes to English and commentaries, we have actually very few that you could, even if you wanted a bad one, we have very few in English. So you would probably maybe start with someone like Maududi or Said Qutb. But if you're looking for, you know, one aspect, like what Sheikh Abdul Bari was referring to, if you're talking about the beauty aspect of the Quran, that's probably going to be maybe a little bit more difficult and takes some more time. However, on the internet, we have actually some lectures from some individuals who, like Brother Nu'man Ali, who kind of specializes in this kind of thing. So you can listen to his lectures. They can help you, inshallah. And then, at the same time, so if you have still some free time now, yes, start with the Arabic, inshallah. And it doesn't take long, inshallah, in an Arabic class to start feeling, when you're reading the Quran, to start feeling like you're starting to understand and getting it directly from the Quran. And inshallah, when you get to that point where you start feeling it directly from the Quran, it has, mashallah, much, at least this is my experience from talking with others as well, it has a great feeling on you, inshallah, when you start reading the Quran and you are like feeling that you're getting the meaning directly from it, inshallah. So definitely don't leave out on that aspect of starting the Arabic, inshallah, and at least getting as far as you can, inshallah, with it. So that's three things that, again, I don't know how much time you have available, but it's a very important thing. So if you can, you don't have to find time, inshallah, you make time. And inshallah, it will be there for you, inshallah.
I think when it comes to memorizing or learning any language, the most important part, aspect of it is consistency. And what I find helps is, you know, we pray every day, five times a day. We should have, for at least each prayer that's recited out loud, or you pray in the masjid, you know, a lot of the words in the Qur'an are repeated. And so, if you make the effort to just learn one or two words a day, and of course that's just learning the meaning of it, and of course you should also memorize, you know, sit with a teacher who will help you to recite it properly. It's part of, you know, taking care and respect of the Qur'an. That to recite it also correctly and to beautify your voice and recitation of it. So all of these aspects, you know, as much as we can, as Sheikh mentioned, there's some people, of course, who have more time than others, but I think whatever time you have, try to be consistent with it. You know, if you were to memorize, just know a couple of words, maybe two or three words a day, if you make it be consistent with that. What I used to do before, when I was young, I used to have...
Don't worry, everything is relative, don't worry.
I used to have I used to carry with me index cards, and every word that I would hear that I didn't know, I wrote it down. I would just write one or two, and I would have three a day, and I would just categorize those cards and try to memorize. And if I didn't know what they meant, you know, I would ask people who knew Arabic, and just a little bit of time. Believe it or not, if you're consistent with this, it's not. You're just taking the time. Like for example, when you're driving. When I'm driving, I remember I used to take it out and used to recite look at those words, and then put it back. You know, don't do it while you're driving, when you hit the stop sign, okay? Like when there's a light or something like that, take it off and then put it back, and you're repeating it over and over again. You know, it's just the times that you're in line and so forth. So I used to have these index cards I used to carry around. I still do with the hadith and things like that to memorize. So that way, anytime you're in the car, anytime you have time, you could always write in English on one side and Arabic on the other side. And do that every day. If you're consistent, you'll see that in a year, you understand so much more. But the consistency also, when you start to understand just one more, or a little bit more, then your desire to learn a bit more increases. And so Allah's making it easy for you, more easier for you. So you start having that passion for it. But you have to push yourself at the beginning to be consistent. I mean, for example, let not a day go by except that you know at least three words, or one word, or whatever it is, but try to be consistent as much as you can. Wallahu ta'ala.
By the way, for those who really are young, let me explain to you what index cards are. Now, seriously, there's a website, I think it's called, anybody from Arabic 6A in the room? 6B. There's a website, I think it's called Anki, ANKI.com or org or something. Anyway, this is a website where you can download onto your phone or your computer. It's a little, what we used to call them, software programs. What do you call them now? Apps.
App.
It's a little app.
App.
It's a little app that basically you can download Arabic words, and you then put, you go to another website called agtal.org, agtal.org, and you can get all the definitions of all the words in Arabic from like 6 or 7, 8, 9 different dictionaries, including Urdu and other Farsi and so forth. You enter the definition into it, and then, like what Abdul Bari said, if you're waiting in line or something, you bring up this app, and when the word comes up at the bottom, you can tell it if you know the word well or if you don't know it very well. And then if you tell it, for example, you know the word well, that means it's only going to bring it up like every 3 months or so. If you don't know it well, you tell it so it's going to bring it up like every day or so. So alhamdulillah, there's lots of resources now that can help you, inshallah, that some of us, when we were younger, did not have available to us. But inshallah.
JazakAllah khairan. Do we have any more hand questions before I move to the written? Okay, this is the last question. ANKI.org.
Or com. .com.
Or .com. ANKI. The Iqama for Asad is in a couple minutes, so I have a question here. Sheikh Jamal, Sheikh Al-Abdari. Which one should I prioritize first? Learning Tajweed for a year or memorize Juz Amma to recite during my prayers?
They can definitely go hand in hand, don't you? Yeah. So the question, so prioritize, I guess. But mashallah, these two should go hand in hand. Learning Tajweed and memorizing, inshallah, should go hand in hand. By the way, also on the previous question, as Abdul Bari said, the actual vocabulary of words that are repeated is actually not that much, and you can download. If you just Google most repeated words in the Quran, there's a file, it's like 500 words, and you can download that file. It'll have the word in Arabic and the definition in English, and those are, again, those are the words that you're going to see throughout the Quran. So if you learn them, you can go from there, inshallah. But memorizing Juz Amma, for example, if you're going to learn Tajweed, you know, you want to try to practice the Tajweed. So as you're practicing the Tajweed, you can practice it on Juz Amma, and then inshallah you will get both of them together, inshallah.
This is a very interesting question. It might take a little bit more time, but we only have a couple minutes. We all want to read, learn, study, and apply the Quran in our lives, but practically, how can it provide solutions to our problems, i.e. marital disagreements, raising children, work issues? Is reading the Quran or ayah as a solution?
Yeah, of course, reading the Quran, first of all, most of the problems that you have in marriages and all the problems related to relationships and things like that, they're related to the purity of the heart. And so sometimes one or two or both of them, maybe the heart is not pure. And so reciting the Qur'an itself also purifies the heart. And also reciting the Qur'an and reflecting upon the Qur'an also, you know, helps us, it humbles us. At the same time, we're learning the solution is in the Qur'an. When it comes to marital problems, whatever the problems may be, the solutions are also in the Qur'an. And so, I mean, reciting the Qur'an and learning the verses and how to apply it, you know, all of these things, of course, you know, soften the heart, and it helps to solve some of those problems.
So the question says we all want to read, learn, study, and apply the Quran. So that answers the rest of the question. If you read, learn, study, and apply the Quran, as Sheikh Abdul Bari mentioned, a lot of the issues that you have, a lot of problems that you have, inshallah, if you apply the Quran, a lot of them will be solved. But if you study the Quran, You know, if you study the Quran talks about, for example, marital issues and how to behave, what are the ethics of behaving with one another. And obviously, when we talk about studying the Quran and learning the Quran, we are never... it's a mistake, and unfortunately some people do this. You know, they concentrate on reading the Quran, but they don't realize that the Quran is part of the entirety also of Islam. So you read the Quran with the tafsir, you read the Quran in the light of the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And that has all of these points that you bring up here. When you ask, for example, and of course the Quran is not, again, as Sheikh Abdul Bari mentioned in his lecture, you don't forget about the sunnah. The sunnah also has lots of guidance as well. And you have guidance in all of these things. First, starting with your taqwa, inshallah, as you're really learning the Quran. It's going to affect your manners, it's going to affect your behavior, it's going to affect how you deal with others, and inshallah it's going to affect how others deal with you as well. So just in that part, there is already, inshallah, benefits with respect to all of these kind of problematic issues. It's not just reading the ayat, but it is learning them and learning how they're to be applied and within the whole structure of Islam as well. And inshallah, you will find guidance for all of these kinds of issues.
Jazakallah khairan. And with that, we come to the conclusion of this wonderful session. Jazakallah khairan for everybody who participated. So the Iqamah fee for Asr is actually going to be right now. Whoever needs to make wudu. Right after Asr, we have in this room, we have Sheikh Yasser Burgess giving a speech about people of other faith, interactions with everyone around us. So please, after Salatul Asr, please return back here for a wonderful speech by Sheikh Yasser Burgess. As-salamu alaykum.